Shortlist with Jake and Amy.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Happy Sunday.
Sunday evening. You know, right off the top.
What?
It's our friend Julian Downs' birthday today.
It is. Can you please get your feet off me since I'm not kidding. I'm in a very small chair. Okay.
Sorry. Still haven't learned that.
It's okay. Happy birthday, Julian. I'm so sorry that we're not there.
We were like, oh, shoot, we haven't texted her yet. And it was feeling late for us, but they're 3 hours behind on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So we still got time.
Well, we have to do that. We're the worst friends.
But it has been very, very hot this weekend.
That's an understatement.
Hot and muggy, like mid-90s and really, really humid.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Maine. So walking out of the house, we went to the beach early on Saturday morning. And like it, I mean, by 10 o'clock, you walked out of the house and it just felt like the entire earth was hugging you with all of the moisture. And
yeah, it was not comfortable. I really, really feel for anyone that doesn't have the luxury of air conditioning, whether at home or in the car, or I mean, specifically at home, that would be horrible. So actually, wasn't Jill saying that they didn't have the AC this weekend?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's to the point you can't even sleep, I don't think, comfortably.
I don't think our friends the Whitmores have AC at all, unless it's a window unit.
I think they do.
They have window units.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Growing up, nobody had central AC at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just like wasn't really necessary. Because it was the hot time of the year was so short where I grew up. But when we moved from Oregon to Idaho, the summers were a lot drier and a lot hotter. So everyone had central AC.
I mean, I have memories as a kid, and I don't think it was that often, but I couldn't tell you for sure that yes, we had an AC or no, we didn't. But the house I grew up in, I do remember that there were a couple nights where it was just so hot. So in my brain, we didn't have an AC at the time that we, you know, we're literally sleeping next to nothing with like a sheet, you know, it was like so miserably uncomfortable. Yeah. So we're lucky we have our air here, and especially with the dog or kids, you know,
that's a whole nother
ball game.
Yeah. We went to a wedding yesterday, and there was a couple that they were driving an hour and a half to this wedding, and their AC
crapped
out like right as they got in the car.
So horrible.
Really long
troopers
drive. And it's not, I mean, I know that there's a lot of comparisons between the dry heat and the humid heat, and though the dry heat is intense, it's the sun is really, really intense, the humidity just like finds every square inch of your skin and just hugs you.
Well, it's like you're balmy.
Yeah.
It's gross. Speaking of the wedding, congratulations to Rachel and Scott.
Yeah.
Woo!
I wonder if she's...
About time, guys.
They didn't rush into that.
No, they're so wonderful. You know, you and I have been to so many weddings in our time, especially you perform at them. And, you know, you've said sometimes you see a couple and you're just like thrilled for them. And other times, you know, maybe you get an inkling that... I don't know. I don't want to say they're not the most well-suited match, but needless to say, just so thrilled for these two. And it was such a fun wedding, a little too much fun at the wedding. And
Yeah.
So this was going to be on my list.
The wedding?
Yes, but parts about the wedding.
Okay.
So I guess the first thing is, what do you think? So I'm asking you, what do you think is the most important element of a wedding in terms of for the guests to experience?
Enjoy themselves.
So should food be the most important? Should it be, you know, the music and the entertainment? Should it be games? Like what for you makes, you know, a wedding really enjoyable?
I think the thing that makes it that mitigates any friction points for people, like as far as makes it not unenjoyable, if that makes sense, is just overall good coordination. So making sure that like everybody knows where they're supposed to be during the ceremony and has a comfortable seat. And then right after that, they know where to go, you know, for the if there is a cocktail hour, and then like not waiting too long to eat, and then going straight into like, you know, having a good place for people to dance, and like, you know, making sure bathrooms are figured out.
You're saying more just whatever makes it run smoothly.
Yes. So that the guests aren't like, people aren't trying to like figure stuff out and, you know.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. But do you not feel like, I don't know.
The thing that I think people remember the most and makes it the most enjoyable is the food, I would say.
And the food was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
Holy cow. Oh, man, was it French Picnic? Is that what they were called out of Portland?
I do not.
I think it is. So they're a catering company out of Portland. I believe it's French Picnic. And it was 5 stars.
What was cool to me was that we walked into the ceremony and there was basically a menu of what you were going to get, because there was nothing on our invite about the food.
Right, choosing a selection.
Which, you know, is, I would say, a traditional, outdated thing of like, pick, you want the fish or do you want the steak or the vegetarian? And it just had a list, you know, it was, it started with chicken. There was chicken, haddock, and a
steak.
Sirloin tip or something like that. And then they all had sides with them. So we're thinking like,
and they all sounded amazing. It was like, for me, I was going to pick the chicken. I was like, oh, it has couscous and arugula. It sounds amazing.
Yeah. And I was going for the haddock, I think.
Had a green curry sauce.
But yeah, there's like potato salad with it. So I was like, I have a thing against
potato
salad.
Jake was stressed about the potato salad.
I just don't, I think potato salad's weird and gross. Anyway, so it gets to dinner time and it turns out it's just family style. So they just bring a giant dish of whatever that entree is.
Well,
like these courses. They basically served like a 5-course meal, but like to the whole table, and you just took
So we got everything.
Yeah.
So that's what was so cool. And so this leads into, I'm going to stay on the wedding topic because it was so much fun. But the second thing I was thinking about in terms of my list is, you know, oftentimes when you're going to a wedding, you know, a lot of the people there. And in our case, we really didn't, you know, Scott and Rachel and I had met a handful of women at her shower a few weeks before. So, you know, it's kind of like we're that awkward table probably of people that are in the same boat as us, like the stragglers, if you will. We had the effing coolest table. I was nervous.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
But that's
fast friends, man.
I think that speaks to the overall good coordination of the wedding.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And to the quality, tooting our own horns. We're great people.
Yeah.
And Scott and Rachel love good people. And it was a very small wedding. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that wedding for days.
Well, you have said many times since then that it was the best wedding you've ever been to.
Yeah. No offense to my friends that I've been to your wedding. And Kate and Woody, you still have time to upstage these two September 6th. Anyway. Yeah. And Mike and Katie. There's still
true.
Time.
Yeah, Burns Fest.
October 19th.
Theirs is looking
it's
to be
It's at a brewery.
Great.
Yeah, it's San Diego. It's going to be fun. So, yeah, anyway, okay, so I'm all over the place per usual. So number one to me, I didn't even answer my own question on the list of my list of things. Food to me is also the most important.
Right.
The food was amazing. They had great specialty cocktails. And, it was just delicious. Back to the table of people that we sat with, which, as I was saying, is second on my list because that's usually such an awkward, weird thing. But we were with phenomenal people.
Yes.
And I was saying that that speaks to the type of people that Rachel and Scott just let into their lives. And so anyway, we had a great time. And I'm not joking. I want to be friends with these people. We got to find them.
That was, I think, going to be going back to what you said originally about like referencing the fact that there are some times where you can tell that a couple is really in love or not. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say in love because that's so, I mean, telling that is going to be impossible. But feeling that, like feeling the tangible, like this is a great celebration of the love that these two people have. Mm-hmm. Or like that has so much more to do on my end from the people that are attending the wedding than looking at the couple.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I've said before that there's like this weird correlation to how much money you spend on it. I think that's kind of a judgmental way for me to think about it. But it really, you know, this people knew Scott and Rachel so well. I think everybody there cared deeply for both of them and not just cared for them individually, but cared for them as a couple. They had been around them for a long time as a couple and just had seen that grow and kind of been a part of their story for a long enough time. And there are other times, like, you can just tell when somebody's coming to a party to just go to a party.
Yeah, that's true. Right, like, excuse me. Like, oh, I'm invited to this wedding. I don't really want to go, but it's a wedding. You know, it should be fun. Yeah, no, and definitely
like,
not.
Oh, maybe they're a rich family, so I bet the food will be good or something. You know, like I've definitely known.
No,
people
this
that
was
have said
and
that.
Don't get me wrong, this is a beautiful wedding, but this was because people loved them and wanted to be there.
Yeah,
and it was awesome. So anyway, those were just kind of the things. You know, it's kind of funny. You can just meet people and instantly you're fast friends. Yeah. And
you know what's I've asked this at least like three times in the last couple of weeks, asking friends of ours that are having weddings, like, oh, is it going to be band or DJ? Which it's interesting that I asked that question, yet it's not the thing that I think is the most important.
Yeah, but I think some people would, you know, I mean, of course there are going to be people that do think that's the most important. Right. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. So anyway, I was just thinking about that was such a fun night.
Yeah, they were just cool people. It does take, it takes some courage to like really put yourself out there. I mean, to like be outgoing at a wedding when you don't know someone, you know, it sucks when the only people you know at the wedding are the people getting married. 'Cause you know, you're not going to talk to them and that's fine. But I didn't really consider that until I was like showering right before we got like left to go to the wedding. And I was like, oh shoot, the only people I know here are going to be my wife and the people getting married. So that's going to be weird.
Jeez, what am I, dog me?
No.
Well, you ended up having fun.
It was a great time. And I think we made, hopefully, friends. We'll see you again.
Wait.
Yeah.
How cool was I?
At the wedding?
Yeah, so you came in from outside.
Oh my gosh!
I'm gonna toot my own horn.
This, no, I'll toot your horn for you. You are the life.
Some soup. While you tell.
You are the life of the party. So, Scott and Rachel have a son, named Jake, and he officiated the wedding and was hilarious. But
behind me, there's eating.
I walked out of the room from the dancing room, and I was talking to some guys, and walked back in, and Amy had hopped up on the stage with the DJ.
Yeah, I did.
And was like dancing up a storm to ABBA. And this, you know, this DJ was just like loving it. All these LED lights flashing.
Sorry, guys.
Time
out. I'm so distractible.
Yeah.
I made a quick veggie kind of chicken noodles. Doesn't even make sense. A chicken broth, but with a ton of veggies. And it's so good right now. Okay, continue,
She's
Jake.
Loving it. So anyway, I walk in and she's like literally dancing on the stage like a go-go girl. And I was funny and laughing, took a video of it. A couple of minutes, not minutes, like maybe four or five songs later, I go back outside to go to the restroom. And when I come back in, Amy is feeding Scott and Rachel's son, Jake, tequila straight out of the bottle.
22 years old. It's fine.
Did I say 20?
Yeah, he's of age. He's like 22 or 23.
Yeah. Don't.
What? Sarah's
our dog. Yeah, I'll paint a picture for you. Amy she's drinking her soup, but her microphone is down by her lap, and our dog is licking her lips right by the microphone. That's disgusting. Oh, if you haven't unsubscribed yet, you will.
Sarah likes the soup. Okay, sorry. I'm back. I just needed a little warmth. Yeah. Okay, so you guys know like a cardboard cutout. You stick your head in the hole or whatever. And we had an astronaut, one of those, there last night for some reason.
Yeah, so you could stick your head into this.
Right, and you're the astronaut.
And people take pictures, yeah.
Yeah, and so Jake, not my Jake, Jake Rachel's son, was being the astronaut. And all of a sudden, hey, the bride came out with a bottle of tequila. And I accidentally hit him in the tooth with the bottle. And he was like, ow! And I was like, sorry, try again.
He's like, it's okay. It's the happiest day of my life.
And then I was doing cartwheels. Time for me to go.
Yeah, you partied hard. Then we left and you forgot your jacket. We had to turn around, come back.
8 miles like down the road. True story.
It was like this whole thing. Oh. This is the weirdest podcast we have done.
It's real. We're leaving that in.
Yeah, we are.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
So,
it just was
speaking of astronauts, It kind of segues into aliens.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So we talked about that a while ago, the whole, like, people storming Area 51. I can't remember why we even brought that up in the past, but we decided to check out this Bob Lazar documentary on Netflix, and it's like Area 51, flying saucer, something. Anyway, it just got me on this whole... It's an interesting account, and I think we actually are going to maybe have... Toby and his wife on, hopefully, both of them.
That'd be so fun.
To talk about this. And I will say that I think that aliens exist of some kind. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this Bob Lazar guy is legit. I'm just not convinced. It's really fascinating.
Did you end up finishing it, though? Because no. I dozed off. Wow. Shocker. Yeah. Okay, so you haven't finished
it. Nope, I haven't finished it. I have started listening to Bob Lazar's interview on a Joe Rogan podcast. So, okay. You know, he's going through a little bit more.
Who's Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan is basically, he's not a comedian.
The one that did Girls Gone Wild.
I actually think he did.
Gross. Already don't trust him.
I do. I think he did.
And now he's interviewing people.
Oh, he has a very popular podcast.
Don't care.
Yeah. No, I'm going to publicly say I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan at all. And I don't think I'm only about 30 minutes into this interview, and I'm not sure that Joe Rogan's really given him the full business. Like,
okay.
You know, it's kind of just like, it just feels weird to me. But it's really interesting, and I haven't been able to stop looking stuff up on it and like trying to figure it out.
About Bob specifically to whether to validate him or not.
Right. The weird thing is, like, he states that he has degrees from Caltech and from MIT. Mm-hmm. His name does not show up in any of those records.
But truly, the government could hide that.
Exactly. There are a lot of things that are explainable to me that would discredit him immediately. Like that the government could do that would discredit him immediately.
Right.
And that is one of them.
Sure. Like, for example, when he said he worked for this company and there's no quote record of him, yet someone did finally track down like an old basically phone book of the company, and he was listed.
Yeah.
And he was listed in photos that was in an article.
News articles, yeah.
Right. So he obviously did work there, despite the fact that no one can find, you know, quote, a record of him there.
Yeah. So it's just, it's very interesting. There are some other like holes in the story that I'm just, nothing is saying like Bob Lazar is wrong, but nothing is saying like everything
he's
saying
is right.
This is my
take on it.
Yeah.
And granted, I've seen half of the documentary and truly had never heard of his name prior to hearing about this documentary.
Right.
My understanding is that when he came out initially to the public, that was what year?
1989.
Okay, so 1989, he comes out and shares his experiences working at S4 or whatever.
Area 51, basically.
Right, but in that particular basic segment that he worked in. And they made his life hell.
Yeah.
It's not like for years he's been trying to prove his story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like since then he's like, no, I'm right. You need to listen to me. Which, because he hasn't been that way, actually makes me believe him even more. Because he's gone on to be married for 17 years, live a normal life.
Right.
Actually doesn't talk about it a lot because it caused so much strife in his life. This documentary came out not because he wanted it to come out. It's because someone else was interested enough in him that they wanted to show, you know, further tell his story. Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, that's fair. He comes across like a very
genuine
and intelligent person.
Well, and he even says he's not, at the end of the day, he's not trying to necessarily prove to the skeptics. Yeah. He's just like, look, this is stuff that is going on. And as Americans, we should be aware. We should be able to know that this stuff is happening.
He said, like, as a scientific community, it's a crime that they aren't telling people that this technology exists or that we have found it.
Right. It's not like he's trying. I don't know. I do believe him from what I've seen, but
yeah, I believe him. I believe that he believes it. On some level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just hard I don't know. It's hard. There was something. You said something that made me think of like a good point. In the oh, that's what it was. Everybody keeps saying like two things. It's really hard to get him to talk about this, but like there's many hours of him talking about it. You know what I mean? So like yeah, so part of it to me is like I just it, really what I'm trying to say is I'm just a skeptic at heart. Like and I'm going to try and find a lot of reasons to kind of not believe it. Just because and I don't know why that is. But so I'm just admitting that up front. But because mm-hmm. you kind of keep getting this same story of like, oh, well, it's really hard to get him
but
to talk about it.
But are you continuing to get that story? They said it once in the documentary.
No, but then Joe Rogan said it at the very beginning of his podcast. So I'm kind of like,
right. Well, but that's also because now he's out in the public and everyone sure. wants to talk about it again.
Sure. The second thing is that the way that the documentary is edited, like the way that they kind of present the story while Bob is talking is like, it plays exactly into like the air, like an air, somebody who would be obsessed with kind of Area 51. Like I'm not, that comes across the wrong way. Like they make it look very classic alien kind of trippy.
Yeah. But that's the people who are putting on the pod on putting on the
right
documentary.
Yeah.
I guess my point is Bob Lazar is a real human being. He is.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
He is a real man. He's a real scientist. He came out years and years and years ago, mm-hmm. 30 years ago, if I can do my math right, prior to these yeah. documentaries and a streaming service to tell his story.
He created basically the lore around Area 51.
Sure. But he also came out anonymous in the beginning. And I guess my whole point is he came out at a time with this story, again, from what he's saying, because he didn't feel that it was right to keep it from the American public, number one. My second point is he kind of disappeared because, again, they just made his life so miserable and threatened him.
By digging into his life.
Right, and all that people wanted to focus on was, he's not even a real scientist. Well, clearly he was enough of a real scientist to work at Area 51. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I get what you're saying about the way it's edited and the music they're using, et cetera. But that's someone else wanting to aim it toward what it is.
That is not Bob's problem at all. Yeah. No, I completely
agree.
So
to me, that has nothing to do with his validity as a person.
That was more just my, like, that was just my, and it sucks that now I watch movies that way. Like, you know, like, oh, they had to do this to get this shot. And like, you know, I'm trying to dissect stuff, which just isn't, that's not very fair to you because then you don't get the pleasure of just watching a movie. I have to sit there and like dissect it. So that sucks. And I apologize for that. But I don't know, as far as the filmmaker goes, and I've already forgot his name, but there were just some things I was just like, you really don't need to be doing this in order to get this guy's story across.
Right. But what I'm telling you is that's not just what they're doing. They are aiming it to people that are obsessed with Area 51.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but is that broadening the reach if those people, like if somebody already, they probably already know about Bob Lazar in that case. So why not try and do something that would bring it, like include more people into the story?
I mean, I think they are. I'm not someone who's obsessed with Area 51 and
me neither.
Interested. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, right. I don't know. I don't look at it with that lens of judging the music they're using or I don't know. That's just not
how and I And that's just, unfortunately, I have a tough time turning that part off of my brain. Mm-hmm. So that's probably not a very fair assessment, but that's how I feel.
That's okay.
Okay. What else?
I don't know.
We found a beetle in the bathroom today, and we thought it was the biggest tick we'd ever seen in our lives.
And I was really calm because I thought it was dead. And I was like, Jake, there's a huge tick in here. Good thing it's not a deer tick. And then you came in and tried to pick it up. Rob Deerdick, that's all I could think of when I said that. And he came in with little tweezers and it started moving. We're like, wow. But then we realized it had wings and it's not a tick. And then we're like, okay, bye. Let's release them. End of story.
Yeah. But these beetles are everywhere. Annoying.
What are they?
I don't know. You have this friend.
Now I'm looking
around.
You should
tell about your friend from high school.
Allie Kenny, yeah. Actually, just, it's not Kenny anymore, but I don't know her. I can't pronounce her married name. Sorry.
She knows every bug.
Yeah. It's always like tagging her on Facebook. Allie, what is this bug? And she gives you like the scientific name. I'm like, sure.
That actually reminds me of a story when you first moved to Boise from Maine. And it was your first day alone in the in our apartment.
I had gone to work.
You sent me a text message from work that was this tiny little, I can't describe what it was. It almost looked like a...
It looked like a maggot.
Like a maggot, yeah.
On my, we had just like got settled into the apartment and I wake up and first thing, open my eyes, 4 inches from my eyeballs is what looks like a maggot. Tell me that that would not freak you out because it freaked me out.
Oh, it was disgusting, but you called me at work. It was like you had just moved here.
Get home now. I'm not doing this.
So I took that picture and I showed it to like my supervisor. I was like, I think I need to go home. He was like, yeah.
It was so gross.
So we like stripped the sheets and you had never, like, this was your first day alone with Sarah, with the dog. So you're like, what did she drag in here? And was it living on her?
It
and
was
like,
so gross.
Anyway, bugs are gross.
Cool story, Jake.
It was a cool story. Hmm. What else do I have? I have so much stuff written down.
All I can do is smell my pretend chicken soup and it smells so good.
Just a fun anecdote about white people dancing. It just looks like they're running weirdly in place.
I mean, okay.
You know what I mean?
So white people is what you said?
Like just think of not all white people. So like, you know, your dorky white dad with a bow tie and like, you know.
Yeah.
He had untucked his shirt because it's hot outside and his sleeves are rolled up and he's just like moving, you know, like in Hitch, like just moving side to side. But then sometimes he gets into it and his arms start moving. It looks like he's running in place, but like really weird.
Mean.
That's not mean. I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Sorry, guys. Yawning. It's hitting me.
So, yeah.
Oh, we have to say happy birthday to Sarah as well. Not our dog, one of my best friends. She always hates that. Miss Sarah Whitmore. So we went out tonight to the High Roller Lobster Company in Portland. And it was delicioso. And then we also went out to Gross Confection Bar and had some delicious desserts. So that was super fun getting together with friends and celebrating Sarah.
It was like a high class dessert place. They do only desserts.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So you get like bites or you could get like more shareable, you know.
It was delish though.
You know what I just realized?
What?
There wasn't cake at the wedding yesterday.
Yeah. No, they just did gelato.
That is, in my opinion, great choice.
I loved our cake at our wedding. Speaking of which, Sarah made it.
It was a great cake. I just like...
People actually raved about our cake.
Yeah, it was really good. Owen. Did we have our 1 year cake?
Yeah. Gosh, we're all over the place.
Yeah. Anyway, I forgot
about
that.
Yes, we did. We saved our cake and ate it last August.
That's right. It was really
good. Jake, do you know when our anniversary is?
Oh, sure do. Now.
Guys, I got to tell you this story real quick. It's the bus. Boom. Running over Jake. Boom, boom. So Jake's been picking up opportunities to play some gigs, which is amazing. And he got a gig offer from a mutual musician friend on, I think this was Friday night, offering him August 24th. And I say to him, well, that's the only free weekend we have in August because he's already kind of booked up so many other places. And, you know, I can see on his face, he wants to take it. And, you know, I'm like, okay, at the end of the day, sure. Just take it. So he does. He says yes to August 24th. And later that night, we're driving around and I'm like, no kidding. We had the weekend off. It's our anniversary. And Jake's like, I swore I would never be that guy. And then 2 seconds later, he's like flinging his hand around. I'm like, what's wrong? Oh, I feel something on my hand. I'm like, yeah, that's called your wedding ring. But anyway, true story. We both forgot. So we'll have to do something else.
I truthfully was so, when it comes to August, I'm so like, I've been so focused on your birthday, which is August 19th.
Is it though?
Yes, it is.
Are you sure?
I'm positive that I like kind of just forgot about the fact that our anniversary is in the same month.
Hmm.
Not better. Still bad.
It's fine. I forgot to, apparently. Anyway.
Well, if you forgot your wedding anniversary or your spouse's birthday, write us at shortlistpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, did we get any emails?
I don't think so.
Let's check.
I'll wait.
Are you gonna
let
check?
Me look. I think I have it.
I didn't even know we had an email address until last week.
That's true. I'm pretty sure we haven't gotten anything.
Guys, so listen, so this is the deal, right? So the more listens we get, we make a very small amount. I'm talking like pennies. Like
penny.
One penny per listen. And really, I just want to make it to the $10 mark so Jake and I can go get a coffee. So just play us on repeat, please. We're still like $4 away.
So you could, in theory, just put this on your Spotify and mute like your speakers and play it overnight.
No.
Why wouldn't we?
Because that's lame. We want people to listen because they want to listen.
I mean, that's true.
Not because we want a coffee. I just am excited for that point when we reach 10 bucks and we can go get a coffee and be like, yeah, we pay for this with our podcast. What you doing? Honey, I'm tired. Yeah, what are you doing? Are you checking the mail?
We haven't gotten anything. Our inbox is empty.
Whoever is the first person to email us, you'll get something special.
That isn't a shout out because we can't just be doling out.
I didn't say it's a shout out.
No, I know. I'm saying it's not going to be... We'll give a shout out, but we should actually think of something cool to send.
Great. Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's all I got, babe. I'm tired. It's Sunday night. I got to get ready for my work week.
Yeah, you do. So do I. We have new hires. We both have new hires at our work, which is great and also exhausting. What do you want to tell the people of the world right now? If you could tell the whole world something important, what would it be?
Wear sunscreen. Drink lots of water and be nice to each other.
There you go. See, that's just good advice. Great.
What about you?
I would probably say that, exactly that. I got sunburned this week, so wear sunscreen. Be a skeptic, but don't live by skepticism, because that's kind of what I do. I'm such a skeptic. And just be nice to people.
Exactly.
You know?
All right.
All right. Till next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Do, 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 do. It's the Shortlist with Jake and Amy.